In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress.
Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Lord,
according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There was a story released earlier this week about a lesbian woman who was denied communion at her mother's funeral by a Roman Catholic priest. All the main news outlets ran with this story. They love stuff like this. Evidently, the woman, who was known by the priest and the parish to be a practicing lesbian, was the first in line to receive communion. And when she got to the priest, he told her that he could not commune her because she was living in sin. The woman went away distraught and very upset. The story continues by letting us know that when the funeral mass was over, the priest walked out during the eulogy that this same woman was delivering in remembrance of her mother. And then we're told that this same priest also refused to accompany the family to the cemetery for the committal, and they had to find another priest to take his place. The lesbian woman, who was denied communion, along with her family, demanded not only an apology from the priest, but that he also be removed from parish duty. The priest has yet to respond to the family, but the archdiocese in which the priest serves has issued a statement apologizing for the lack of pastoral sensitivity, but not for the lesbian woman not receiving communion. Now, I don't know how the priest in question conducted himself. Maybe he was a real jerk. Maybe he could have shown more compassion to this woman and her family as he went about his priestly duties. I don't know. Then he walked out during the eulogy and refused to go to the cemetery for the committal. That looks pretty bad. But then again, I'm guessing that we're not getting the whole story. Who knows what really happened? What I do know is that this priest was right to deny this woman communion, which is the very thing that caused outrage not only from the woman and her family, but also from the liberal media that was all too willing to jump on this story and bash Roman Catholics for discriminating against homosexuals. As one reporter put it, it seems unthinkable that in our day and age, when we have come so far in removing the stigma that long existed upon homosexuality, those who claim to represent Jesus, who loved and welcomed everyone, would continue to hold on to their hatred toward homosexuals and discriminate against them. Many other reporters expressed the same sentiment. As I read report after report on this, there were two common thoughts found within all of them. The first being that the church has no right to deny Holy Communion to homosexuals. The second being that Jesus would never deny communion to homosexuals, for he loved and welcomed everyone. Now, the reason I bring this story up on this second Sunday in Lent is because, to be quite blunt, the liberal media simply has no clue what they're talking about. The reception of Holy Communion in our Lord's Church is not a right guaranteed to all. It is a gift given to penitent sinners who believe that they receive the very body and blood of Jesus for forgiveness. And, contrary to those in the liberal media who think they're theologians, it is Jesus himself who commands his called and ordained servants to withhold communion from those who are impenitent, those who refuse to repent. This idea that Jesus would love and welcome homosexuals who are practicing homosexuals and refuse to acknowledge it as a sin and repent for it to the altar rail is ridiculously absurd, given what he himself preaches and teaches us in Holy Scripture. In one of the many interviews this lesbian woman did, she was asked about her faith and what she believes. She said that her faith is a mixture of Catholicism and Eastern spirituality, and that she loved the teachings of Gandhi. In other words, she has created her own version of Christianity, which combines the teachings of other religions and other religious leaders with the teachings of Jesus and Catholicism. And this all makes perfect sense to the liberal media, since they see no difference between Jesus and Mahatma Gandhi, who were both nothing more than good men who held to and taught decent morality and love. And in this version of Christianity created by this lesbian woman and applauded by the liberal media, all people, regardless of sexual orientation or even regardless of what they actually believe about Jesus and his church, have a right to receive communion. Dear friends, contrast all of this with what we hear in the Holy Gospel today. A Canaanite woman cries out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus ignores her. If we didn't know any better, we might consider that Jesus is acting a little bit like a jerk here. He ignores her. And then, after she keeps crying out, the disciples beg Jesus to send her away. She's getting on their nerves. And besides, she's a Canaanite woman, a pagan enemy of the people of Israel. And how does Jesus answer them? Does he say, "I will not send her away, for I love and welcome all people"? Nope. Instead, he seems to confirm the thoughts the disciples are having. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Translation: this pagan Canaanite woman has no part with me. Again, Jesus seems like kind of a jerk here. But the woman, God bless her, won't give up. She comes and kneels before Jesus, pleading with him again, "Lord, help me." Surely now Jesus will have compassion on her and love and welcome her and give her what she is begging him to give her. Nope. Instead, in stunning fashion, Jesus calls her a dog. He says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." If we thought he was acting like a little bit of a jerk before, this seems to leave no doubt. Really, Jesus? First you ignore the woman, then you tell your disciples that this woman has no part with you, and now you call her a dog? What has gotten into you, Lord? How can you treat this woman so shamefully? Can you imagine what the liberal media would do with this? But of course, we know that Jesus has his reasons. He's using this occasion to teach his disciples and us. He's deliberately pushing this woman away because he knows that she will not let him do so. He knows that she will not let go of him until she receives the blessing for which she is begging, much like Jacob, holding on to the Lord in our Old Testament reading until he received his blessing. And so, when Jesus calls this Canaanite woman a dog, she doesn't run to the media and tell them what a jerk Jesus was to her. She doesn't write a letter demanding that Jesus apologize to her and be removed from the ministry. She doesn't claim that her rights had been violated. Instead, amazingly, she agrees with him. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." In other words, you are right, Jesus. I am a dog. I don't deserve your mercy. I am nothing but a mere beggar. I am not worthy to approach you and ask for help. I only ask that you let me have the crumbs that fall from your table. I will be content with those, the dog that I am. And Jesus responds, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. The contrast should be easy for you to see, dear friends in Christ. The lesbian woman, her family, and the liberal media all believed that the priest had treated the lesbian woman like a jerk, like a dog, and that he had no right to deny her communion. The lesbian woman came to the altar to receive the sacrament, having no desire to repent, but believing that she had a right to receive it, and then was outraged when she was denied. The Canaanite woman, on the other hand, came to Jesus in repentance and faith, realizing that she had no right to approach him and that he had every right to treat her like a dog, for she was unworthy of the gifts she wanted from him. One woman's faith is great. The other woman shows that she has no faith. Learn the lesson, dear friends. Holy Communion is not a rite guaranteed to all. It is not a rite guaranteed to you. It is a gift given to those who recognize that they are unworthy to receive it, to those who come in repentance and faith. For here's the truth. As awful as it sounds, and as hard as it is for proud sinners to hear, you are dogs. You do not deserve to approach Jesus, let alone receive grace, mercy, and love from him. You are sinners. You have no right to claim anything from Jesus. He is not obligated to give you what you desire. Repent. You are not worthy. You are nothing more than dogs, than mere beggars. And yet, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. The gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation Jesus won for sinners by his perfect life and sacrificial death on the cross is for those who, like the Canaanite woman, have great faith. And that great faith is found in those who realize that they're not worthy to receive anything from Jesus and come to him as mere beggars. A humble and contrite heart I do not despise, says the Lord, but the proud-hearted I send empty away. My friends, those who have the idea that Jesus loves and welcomes all people, even those who are proud-hearted and refuse to recognize and repent of their sins, do not know the Jesus revealed in Holy Scripture. They have created a Jesus out of their own imagination. One who turns a blind eye towards sin and is obligated to dish out his gifts to them. One who would never ever turn anyone away, not a Buddhist, not a homosexual, not a Hindu, not a Muslim, not an atheist, not anyone. He would never turn anyone away, for he knows that everyone deserves and has a right to his gifts. But you know different. You know that you do not deserve Jesus and the gifts that he wants to give you. That is why you confess your sins each and every time you gather together here in his holy house. That is why you enter through those doors and come into the nave, not as people who think they have a right to be here, but as sinful beggars who know that they have to be here. For here is where Jesus is for sinners. Come then, not as those who have a right to receive anything from Jesus, but as those who recognize and repent of their sins, as those who are content to be called dogs and to receive nothing more than the crumbs that fall from your master's table. For the good news is that even though that's all you deserve, your Lord Jesus Christ gives you so much more. For he doesn't give you mere crumbs from his table, but he gives you himself, his very body and blood given and shed for you, that you could receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. You come as dogs, begging for crumbs, but he makes you saints and fellow heirs with him to his eternal kingdom, where you will sit with him at the table, not begging for crumbs, but sit with him at the table and live and reign with him forever. Come in repentance and faith and receive what Jesus longs to give to you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, continue to establish your saving covenant with us as you did with Abraham, that we who deserve nothing from you may continue to rely on you for everything. While we were still your enemies, yet sinners, at the right time Christ died for us. So now at this right time, grant us repentant hearts and faith that rejoices because the death of your Son has reconciled us to you. As you show us your love, lead us to respond with love for you and for the people you have placed in our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Father in heaven, like Jacob, we marvel that even when we stand in your presence, you spare our lives because of your mercy. Be with those who are struggling with the difficulties of life in this sinful world, especially be with all those who have requested our prayers, including Ralph Bolt, Joan Birch, Marion Green, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bruce Bebo, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dargy, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Dorothy Weiser, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curie, Eric Lovejoy, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCullum, Joan Martins, Landon Culp, Connie and Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Roman Williams, Sherry Shaw, Joseph Tolk, Elsie Reichart, Pastor Dan Chambers, and Ruth Weber. And grant to each of them the help you know to be best. Also provide for those who lack money, homes, or the necessities of life. In all our tribulations, teach us to wrestle with you as Jacob did, that we too may receive your blessings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Father in heaven, as the world confronts us with many temptations, set our minds not on the things of man, but on the things of God. Grant each of us an enduring faith that confesses before all people that Jesus is the Christ, a faith that daily denies self, takes up our cross, and follows him. Be with those who proclaim Jesus here and throughout the world, including our synodical leaders, Matthew, our president, David, our district president, and Paul, our circuit counselor, our pastor Thomas, and all pastors in Christ, and all faithful missionary endeavors, including Issues, etc., the Siberian Lutheran Mission Society, Lutherans in Africa, Lutheran Heritage Foundation, LCMS World Relief and Human Care, Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries, University Lutheran Chapels at the University of Minnesota and UCLA, and Lutherans for Life. And bring all unbelievers also to believe that your Son is the Christ and the Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Father in heaven, you have baptized us, forgiven us, and called us not for impurity but for holiness. So by your Holy Spirit, lead us to walk in ways that please you. Give us your strength so that we may use the bodies you have redeemed for sanctified purposes, abstaining from sexual immorality, honoring your gift of marriage, and living in holiness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we beg you to have mercy on those oppressed by Satan. As you have washed us at the font, driven the devil out of us, and given us your Son, also come to the aid of those under the influence of demonic forces. Deliver them and fill their lives with repentance, faith, and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Father in heaven, grant us faith that joyfully eats the crumbs that fall from your table. Thank you for the gifts you have given us and that you give to us each day. Fill us with gratitude so that we may use your blessings to honor you and care for those around us and to support the ministry and mission of your church here and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Father in heaven, prepare the hearts of all who receive Christ's very body and blood this day. With our Savior in us, grant us a peace that rejoices even in sufferings. By your gracious working, let those sufferings produce endurance in us. Let endurance produce character, and let character produce hope that is never ashamed, because you have poured your love into our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Father, we place ourselves and for all and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave His life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me."
peace of the Lord be with you always.
Very body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The very 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 body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 Gabriel, Lord, bless and keep you in your baptismal vows. Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
With favor and give you peace.